For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Morning Show 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group, now offering telemedicine. Logan and Tyler head along with you on a Monday morning.
Hearing that gets me really, really excited.
I just hit the restart button. We love it because it's got that dog barking in the beginning of it.
Yep. Fingers crossed things go according to plan.
This is, as our next guest points out, now this was by request. He wanted this song because he thinks this from the Redcoats is sort of... is the epitome of a college football Saturday in Athens, Georgia, man. I couldn't agree more.
Yep.
Let's go to the beginning one more time. Gotta love that dog. Without further ado, friend of the program, Monday guest, Mike Griffith of Dog Nation. Mike, I called you Monday. Mike, how are you on this Monday?
Doing well. Thanks, Logan.
Can't get my coffee's not kicking in this. Or maybe I've had too much coffee, actually. I'm just not speaking very well this morning, but... hopefully you had a good weekend. How was your Father's Day? Did you get anything nice and a special day from the kids, or what'd you do yesterday?
Got a lot of work done.
Good.
Got a lot of work done. Had a lot of stories go up. Got a story up coming up this morning with
awesome.
Richard LeCount, so stayed busy.
Love to see it. You're always busy, Mike. Certainly appreciate that. Let me ask you something off the top of the interview here. And Tyler and I talked a little bit about this last segment, and I'm just not confused. I'm just trying to clarify something maybe I didn't realize. There's a very, very cool, positive story going around right now. I love it, by the way, with Jalen Kimber, Latavius Breeny. I think they purchased a cookie for a little girl at a local restaurant so that she could be considered a paying customer to use the restroom. I thought it was fantastic, a good... you know, representation of the program and society. But what I thought maybe a little bit too far into this is these are college football players that are out and about in the community at a restaurant and taking pictures with people they don't know. Just clarify, if you don't mind, Mike, I wasn't sure that would be the case with players returning as they're trying to, you know, basically stay away from COVID-19 as much as possible so that we can have a football season. Do they have more freedom, I guess, in the community than I realized?
I don't know. I mean, they're people. I mean, that's why I always said that, you know, the concept that if they're not on campus, they'd be safer somewhere else. I mean, you know, people that age, Logan, if you look at the numbers, they're at a very low risk.
Right.
And they know it. So that's why I think everybody freaking out over, this team had 5, this team had 8, this team had 30. I mean, The statistics say this. They got a better chance of getting hit by lightning than, you know, dying from COVID-19.
Yeah.
So that age group isn't worried about it.
I get that. I was just curious though. I wasn't sure what kind of controlled environment that they were going to be in. And look, I'll be honest. My personal take on this: I'm glad they're able to be out in the community. I just didn't realize that they would be allowed to sort of go eat somewhere that's not University of Georgia athletic provided meals, those type of things. So I guess that was just kind of new to me.
Well, you know, we only have that 8 hours of voluntary workout a week. You know, they're only allowed to do so much, and then they're left to their own devices the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about all the careful planning to, you know, have groups of 20 broken down into groups of 7, 7, and 6, and one way through the facility and one way out. I guess if you're Georgia, you're saying, well, they're not going to get it here. So, you know, and that's all you can ask is for, you know, the Georgia football program and the school to do what they can on the school to, you know, minimize or, you know, take away any chance they're going to conduct any type of viruses on campus. But, you know, what they do away from campus is kind of their business.
Yeah.
You just mentioned it a moment ago there. Logan and I were talking about earlier, you know, teams like LSU and Clemson have reported several of their student-athletes having tested positive for the coronavirus at the end of last week. I mean, do you think that possibly changes anything, makes things more strict for a team like Georgia, or changes the way they go about things, just kind of knowing that other teams are dealing with this and they don't want to be in that same boat going forward?
Well, again, I mean, the people that age haven't, you know, that have gotten the COVID-19, there haven't been any serious complications on any college football players that I'm aware of yet. Now, sure, as I say that, you know, it'll happen somewhere at some point. But, you know, here's a question. I mean, maybe they develop herd immunity before the season, you know, and I don't know enough about COVID-19 to know, you know, how immune that makes you once you have it once. You know, it's the same antibodies. I know there's different strains, but, you know, if these teams have players that have it during the off season, then maybe once they're in season, there's no risk of them getting it again, and it's kind of a moot point. So, you know, we've heard a lot about herd immunity. So I don't know. That's just kind of another chapter of it. You know, again, I tell this to people. I mean, COVID-19 affects different people different ways, and I think it's pretty well documented. There's different risk groups, and then there's other age groups that don't have to worry about it as much.
So the reports, like Tyler just said, the Clemson, the LSUs, when the numbers seem pretty high there, does that, and I know you just spelled out like herd immunity, those things, and hopefully that's the case, but does it discourage you in any way that maybe the overabundance of caution may be coming? I think it was Kansas State that just, they paused their workouts for the next 14 days and others, but do those reports deter any optimism you have that football will happen on time this fall?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's tricky because, you know, players have rights too. And just like you do, just like I do. And, you know, could somebody tell me not to go to work because they were worried I might get COVID-19? I mean, well, who are you to tell me that I can't, you know, have my earnings potential? And if those players want to play football, who is anybody else to tell them that they should be worried about COVID-19 when they could point to some statistics and say, I got a better chance of getting hit by lightning? You know, everybody's trying to say what's best for them, but what about what the players want and what are their rights?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a scholarship to play football, and they were promised an opportunity to play football. So whose decision is it to take that away from them?
The football players at Ohio State that returned to campus last week signed a waiver specifically stating that they understood that, you know, they were putting themselves at risk for possibly contracting this and, you know, being around other teammates and all this stuff. Was anything like that signed by any of the Georgia players, or is that something that we could possibly see come about in these next few weeks? Again, as we hear about some of these schools that are having to deal with you know, large numbers of positive cases.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, Georgia hasn't put out any information. They've kind of kept everything under cloak. You know, they haven't said how many cases they've had, haven't made any of the players available to the media or any of the assistant coaches or coordinators or anything like that. So, you know, again, I mean, COVID-19 is, you know, it's a virus. It's out there. There's other viruses. There's other illnesses. And there's other risk factors for people that age. So, I don't think one size fits all. You know, I think we're doing a disservice if we don't educate people on it and explain the different risk factors in different groups, age groups. It does seem like it's become somewhat politically charged, unfortunately. And, you know, that's kind of my opinion on it, is I just kind of look at it analytically and I say, well, you know, if the players have a better chance of having harm from being struck by lightning than COVID-19, you know, why is that such a focus? And I guess the answer would be that schools have a responsibility and the football program has a responsibility to do everything it can to protect the student-athlete. And they do that at Georgia. But to Logan's point, if guys are out at restaurants, you know, not to rain on anybody's parade, but if guys are out at restaurants getting their picture taken with total strangers, it kind of seems like they're not real worried, and quite frankly, it kind of cancels out all the action that Georgia's taking to try and minimize it on campus. I mean, I saw Jamie Newman throwing a football to Trey McKitty. You know, they're not using a football on campus right now. So, I think the schools are doing their part, but you know, it's up to the players. And honestly, the state legislation allows for them to do what they're doing. They're not breaking any laws.
Yeah.
I think people go a little bit too far, and there may be a bit of a fear factor there, and I understand that for some age groups, they do need to be careful. But the players are living their lives, guys.
I hear you. You wrote about a couple of quarterbacks over the weekend. I want to get to Jamie Newman in just a second, but you also wrote about a player who I think Bulldog fans are excited about, but he's sort of been kind of shuffled out of the mindset this season with JT Daniels announcing his transfer and Jamie Newman coming in. But Carson Beck was talked about by DJ Shockley over the weekend. I like the word you used in your story where he has a chance to marinate this season and maybe give Bulldogs fans something excited to, or something to be excited about in the future. But what are we forgetting in the conversation of Georgia's quarterback in Carson Beck, if anything? What did you write about this weekend?
Yeah, DJ Shockley was talking about how he might benefit from some older guys being brought in. You know, I'll say this. I mean, you know, you say out of the conversation, maybe the fans, but I can tell you that, you know, right now with Todd Monken and Matt Luke and Kirby Smart, he's not out of the conversation. They've got a competition going on there. And us on the outside, we might all assume that Jamie Newman's going to be the guy or JT Daniels because they're older and they have experience. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Carson Beck moves the team better in practice and wins the trust of the coaches. I mean, I never say never. I've seen guys beat other guys out for positions. I've seen returning starters beat out for their spot at Georgia before because they recruit so well. But what Carson brings you is an athletic guy with a really good arm. He's got a lot of confidence. I mean, he is the type of freshman that could play in the SEC. You know, it obviously hurt him, I think, and Dwan a great deal that they didn't get to go through spring football and go up against that number one defense in pads. Of course, they had, you know, some scout team work last year, but that's different. You know, it's different than taking it up to the first team. So I think both of those guys probably start out behind, and you just kind of got to see where that competition goes.
Speaking with Mike Griffith of DogNation.com, the other quarterback that certainly is being talked about a lot, Jamie Newman, you wrote about him this weekend as well, and I loved what he said in a video that was released to boosters, is that when why did he choose Georgia? I guess my mind would have immediately gone to someone like George Pickens, maybe Todd Monken, maybe an offense that he thought he could thrive in, but he listed something different, Mike. What was that?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. He said because he wanted to go up against that defense every day. And, you know, I thought that was really interesting, you know, that Jamie wanted to be challenged and wanted to have an opportunity to go up against what I think is the best defense in the country. And then he also mentioned how impressed he was that so many seniors on defense came back and, you know, that there was that mentality to get a championship. Now, you know, I guess everybody would have felt like it would have been even better if you know, three offensive linemen and a quarterback and a two-time 1,000-yard rusher would have been back. That sure would have helped the cause, too. But obviously the guys didn't come back on offense, and you know, Jake Fromm leaving is what created the opportunity for Jamie to come in. So I guess you can't have it both ways. But, you know, yeah, sounds like a real, you know, intellectual guy. He's got his mind in the right place. And, you know, talked about all the right things as far as wanting to compete and go up against the best defense every day in practice.
On that note, what kind of possible learning curve could it be in for now that he has to face that great defense every single day in practice as opposed to what he was facing when he was at Wake Forest?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because at Wake you could make the argument that he didn't have as good a supporting cast. He did have as good a receivers. That's one thing Georgia fans need to know. There were good receivers at Wake Forest. And, you know, Georgia's got kind of an unproven receiving core. You could maybe say his offensive line wasn't as good, although I think he had one or two NFL prospects. As far as the learning curve, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces to that, and so far all they can do is Zoom calls. They can't really work on it under the supervision of their coaches until, I don't know, like the third week of July, Kirby and Todd Monken can finally oversee practices that involve football. But I'm sure that, you know, the whole objective will be to keep it simple enough where they can execute. And then you just got to try and grow that offense as the season progresses.
Mike, since the last time we talked, the NCAA, I guess, or was it the SEC, which one approved the preseason camp date of July 13th? Which one was that?
That was the NCAA.
Okay.
It did that 6-week practice plan. And for Georgia, it's July 15th because right. they open the season on a Monday night instead of Saturday.
Mm-hmm. So that date now, just to be clarify and be very clear, that is the day that coaches can start, I guess, coaching their players. I guess incorporate a football into practice. Is that what I'm understanding?
No. July 15th is the day they can oversee workouts.
Okay.
And then you got to go another 2 weeks before you can use the football. And that's another little two-week period before you get into the conventional start of practice in August. So, yeah, but they'll be around. They'll be able to oversee the guys. They'll be able to see the results. And I know that Ed Orgeron said that maybe the NCAA might look at letting the coaches do a little bit more. But the whole thing, again, from the NCAA standpoint in Georgia is to take care of the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were off for an extended period of time, and you know, they got to work their way back in. You know, you don't want to rush it. You don't want to push these guys too hard, too fast. And so that's why there's been such a careful plan to kind of ease them back in so that they can be back up and running, quite literally,
right.
In August and ready for the rigors of a fall camp.
Sorry, Mitch. Yep. Go ahead, Tyler. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Where was I going to go with this? You mentioned earlier you have a story about Richard LeCount coming out. You wrote also this past weekend just sort of his reflection on his time with Georgia, but if you don't mind teasing the people, head to dognation.com later this morning. What are you writing about Richard today?
Yeah, I mean, just more Richard talking about the upcoming season. Mm-hmm. You know, he's obviously in a position of leadership and finished last season really strong. He was the only guy on defense that was named first-team preseason All-SEC by Athlon. I thought that was pretty interesting because last year, the only guy that was All-SEC mm-hmm. at the end of the year was J.R. Reed, so you know, Georgia had the best defense in the country last year statistically, and it looks like they got the best defense in the country going into this year, and they only got one guy making All-SEC, three or four Alabama, so seems like they're still that no-name defense, guys.
I was going to say, does that give LeCount the best possibility of being the top star on the defense going into this season, where we possibly may not have a no-name defense again?
Well, you know, he's a three-year starter, or actually, I guess a four-year starter.
Yep.
Started as a freshman at Notre Dame, so, you know, he's probably the most noted guy. I think Eric Stokes could be a candidate for that. I'm surprised he doesn't give him more love, you know, but he doesn't have a lot of picks, and sometimes guys just look at the numbers. Monty Rice is a guy that's been around for a while. You can make a good case for Monty, but, you know, they like that Alabama guy more, I guess. It's interesting, you know, Jordan Davis is a guy now, hard to believe this is going to be his second year as a full-time starter. He kind of broke through as a freshman. I mean, he's kind of a third-year guy. Malik Herring's a guy that has the highest defensive lineman rating of all the returning defensive linemen in the SEC. He kind of gets no love, though. So it's interesting, you know, when you take a look at the guys Georgia has. And I don't know, Georgia just still, the players' names haven't really resonated. I guess that's why there's such a quest from these players to try and win a title. I guess that's what you got to do to get those individual accolades.
Mike, always appreciate your time every Monday. One day I'll reintroduce you to David Johnson. He still works here. I know this is the third straight Monday you haven't had him, so he'll be back sooner or later. But always appreciate you having on, and we'll look for that Richard LeCount and story and everything else you do throughout the week, and we'll talk to you about it. I guess in a couple of weeks. We won't have you next Monday, right?
Right.
Good deal. Well, we'll be talking in a couple of weeks then.
All right.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it.
Guys.
All right. See you, Mike. Mike Griffith.
Good stuff as always.
DogNation.com.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.